I believe it was Bentinck who suggested cards. I wasn't in at the beginning of the game, having been ambushed by an old dragon in a lace cap who told me how her niece, Priscilla, had written to her with an envelope instead of waxing her letter, and what did I think of that? I despaired, until who should appear but Fanny herself, sparkling and full of nonsense, to insist that I should come and show her how to make her wager. "I'm quite at sea," says she, "and Henry," this was Duberly, "vows that counting makes his head ache. You will assist me, Captain Flashman, won't you? And Aunt Selina will not mind, will you, Auntie dear?" Aunt Selina sniffed and told her she must not wager more than a pair of gloves. "And not your hobegonce, mind, you foolish little girl. Indeed, I don't know what the world is coming to, or Henry Duberly thinking of, to permit you wagering at cards. It would not have done in my day. What are the stakes?"
"Oh, ever so little, aunt," says Fanny, tugging at my sleeve. "Farthings, and Lord George has the bank, and it's ever such fun."
Aunt Selina gathered up her reticule.
"Then I shall come myself to see you are not excessively silly."
There was quite a crowd round the table in the salon, where Bentinck was presiding over Vingt et Un, amid great merriment. Even Locke and Morrison were present, watching and being not too sour about it. Mrs. Abigail Locke was among the players, with Bryant advising, toady-like, at her elbow. Disraeli was making a great show of playing indulgently, like a great man who don't mind stooping to trivialities if it will amuse lesser minds, and half a dozen others, old and young, were putting up their counters and laughing with delight at Bentinck's sallies. As Fanny and Aunt Selina took their seats, an old fellow with white whiskers leans across to me.
"I must warn you," says he, "that Lord George has us playing very deep, plunging recklessly, you know." He held up some counters. "The green ones are a farthing, the blue a halfpenny, and the yellow, you must take care, are a penny. It is desperate work, you see."
"I'm coming for you, Sir Michael," cries Bentinck, slapping the pack. "Now, ladies, are you ready? Then one for all, and all for the lucky winner."
And he flicked the cards round. It was silly, harmless stuff, you see, all good nature and playfulness, and as desperate a card game as I ever sat in on in my life. Fanny was all excitement, holding her cards up close for me to see, and asking how much she should go, which gave me the opportunity to huddle in and stroke her bare shoulders as I whispered in her ear. Next to her, old Aunt Selina was buying cards like a St. James's shark. Precise and slow, she took 4 and paused at 17. Bentinck was watching her, his handsome face intent, his thumb poised on the next card. She took it, and it was a tray, which meant that she had a 5-card hand, at which there was great applause, and Bentinck laughed and cried, "Well done, ma'am," as he paid her counters over.
"I never buy beyond 16, you know," Aunt Selina confided to Fanny, "unless it is for a 5-card hand. I find it a very good rule."